From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stephanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id. Listener, here's the news first, the headlines. House Speaker Puan Maharani hands over AIPA chairmanship to Lau. Minister Erlangga Hartarto says core disbursement reaches 126.3 trillion rupees as of July. And here is the news in detail. The Speaker of the House of Representatives of Indonesia and the President of ASEAN Interparliamentary Assembly, or AIPA, Puan Maharani, handed over the chairmanship of AIPA to Lau on Wednesday. As the 44th President of AIPA, she handed over the gavel to Lau as a token of the Lau presidency for the next AIPA session. She symbolically handed over the gavel to the President of National Assembly of Lau and Speaker of the Lau Parliament, Sai Somphone Phomvuyen, as a symbol of AIPA presidency relay. The 45th AIPA General Assembly will take place in Lao in October 2024. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto has said that at least 126.3 trillion rupees, or around $8.31 billion, in smallholder business credit or microloan credit or CUR has been disbursed to 2.3 million debtors as of July 31, 2023. The microloan disbursement target has been set at 297 trillion rupees, or around $19.55 billion. This was conveyed by Minister Hartarto at a press conference on the microloan award ceremony on Wednesday, as reported by Antara. He further said that the microloan disbursement is currently on a positive trend this year. As of July 31st, 126.3 trillion rupees has been disbursed to 2.3 million debtors, as mentioned before, with the non-performing loans maintained at 1.63%. The annual event, namely Kenduri Riau, is being held again in 2023. A gathering place for artists, art lovers, and business people will be held more modernly. This was pointed out by the head of Riau Provincial Tourism Office, Ronin Rahmat, in an interview with the Voice of Indonesia on Wednesday.
Makan infinity tanpa batas.
The theme is infinity, meaning without boundaries. It is more contemporary, and it focuses on improvement. But in 2023, we really have to think about how we can penetrate the outside world, not only Indonesia, but the whole world.
Moreover, Ronin Rahmat has targeted the domestic tourists who will attend the Kenduri Riau event, as many as 50,000 people, while foreign tourists as many as 2,000 people. The event will present 17 creative economic sectors, both art performances, artists, and musicians, in the event on August the 17th until 20th, 2023. Furthermore, there will be various films presented by Indonesian movie makers and particularly from Riau. There will be 14 communities at the event, including motorbike, bonsai communities, and nature lovers. In addition, there will be 52 typical culinary tenants from all regions of Indonesia, as well as local handicraft products. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno stated that the 2023 Indonesia Shopping Festival, or ISF, can serve as a medium for driving growth of the tourism and creative economy sectors and creating more job opportunities. In a statement received by Antara on Wednesday, he stated that the 2023 ISF is also aimed at improving the performance of tourism and creative economy sectors while boosting retail sales by prioritizing micro, small and medium enterprises. Furthermore, the minister remarked that the festival will be held on August the 10th until 20th, with a special focus on developing and exploring the potential of the country's culture and culinary arts. The performance of Indonesian state-owned enterprises can be accelerated through business transformation and good corporate governance. As quoted by Antara, according to the state-owned enterprises researcher Toto Pranoto on Wednesday said, the establishment of quality state-owned enterprises holdings must continue if the government wants to improve the performance of these enterprises sector and make transition into the next government smoothly. Pranoto further pointed out that the formation of state-owned enterprises holdings can increase the value. Therefore, the strategy is no longer about quantity, but more about quality. The United States is providing up to $200 million in additional military aid for Ukraine, two U.S. officials told VOA, in a package that is expected to include more rockets for HIMARS and more munitions for Patriot Service to air missile defense systems. As reported by VOA.com, the officials, who spoke to VOA on condition of anonymity ahead of the expected release of the package later this week, said the aid also includes mine clearing equipment and anti-tank weapons such as TOW missiles and shoulder fired 84s. Their latest aid package will mark the 44th authorized presidential drawdown of the military equipment from the Defense Department inventories since Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February 2022. 41 people are believed dead after a boat carrying migrants capsized off Tunisia in rough seas, the Italian Red Cross and Rescue Group reported, citing for survivors who were rescued and brought to land Wednesday. As reported by ArabNews.com, the survivors reported having left Sfax, Tunisia, on a metal boat with a total of 45 people on August the 3rd. About 6 hours into their voyage, a huge wave overturned the vessel. Red Cross said in a statement that the four survived using inner tubes and managed to climb onto another empty vessel nearby. Evidence of the large number of boats setting up from Sfax and the rough seas that hit the area in recent days, causing several others capsizing too. The Ministry of Defense, or MINDEF, and Civil Aviation Authority of Singapore, or CAAS, said that the Republic of Singapore Air Force scrambled F-16 jets on Wednesday afternoon in response to a civilian helicopter. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, they also stated that preliminary checks indicate that the helicopter is of a civilian type and registered to a foreign company. After ensuring that their security was not compromised, the F-16s were subsequently stood down. And listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The government of Tianjin Regency, West Java, and the government of Yachimata City, Japan, discussed student exchange cooperation. Yachimata City government visited Tianjin for the second time. This time, the Japanese students will study in Tianjin. Tianjin region Herman Soherman conveyed that previously dozens of students from junior high school SMP Negeri 2 Tianjin underwent a two-week study process in Japan, and this time it will be done in Tianjin. Herman Soherman explained that his side has received head of Japan International Collaboration Association, Yagi, and head of middle school, Yachimata, Suzuki, and Yachimata government representative, Sukiyasi. Their arrival to discuss a number of cooperation programs, including changing students from Yachimata, who will study for 2 weeks at junior high school, to Tianjin, and they will live in foster parents' house in Tianjin. Moreover, according to Soherman, his party discussed educational, technological, and cultural cooperation, including the arrival of dozens of students from Japan to Tianjin in October, who will attend school for 2 weeks and live in foster parents' homes, like Tianjin students when they went to Japan. Chairman of the Yachimata International Friendship Association, Yoshida Via, the translator, pointed out that they were coming to Tianjin for the second time to follow up on the Yachimata Middle School Student Exchange Program to Tianjin. Then students from Yachimata City will introduce Japanese culture to students in Tianjin and learn about the world of education and life in Indonesia, especially in Tianjin. Besides, he hopes that Yachimata's children can adapt to the international world so that they have experience of life outside their own country. They will share their experiences with students in Tianjin and their friends when they return to Japan.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Listener, here is Today in History. We start with August 10th, the National Veterans Day. National Veteran Day is celebrated every 10th August. It is a national observance to commemorate the services of veterans who have fought to liberate and defend Indonesia's sovereignty. The day is also a reminder that Indonesia's independence was gained and fought for by the Indonesians. National Veteran Day was designated by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono in 2014. Let's move to the 10th of August 1973, the inauguration of Borobudur Temple after the Second Restoration. Borobudur is a Buddhist temple located in Magelang, Central Java. Borobudur Temple underwent several restorations. The first restoration was from 1907 to 1911. Then, on August 10, 1973, President Suharto inaugurated Borobudur Temple after the Second Restoration. The largest restoration project was carried out in the period of 1975 to 1982 by the government of the Republic of Indonesia and UNESCO. The participation of UNESCO in the restoration of the temple is one of the efforts to introduce Borobudur Temple to the world. After the renovation was completed, UNESCO designated Borobudur Temple on the list of World Heritage Sites in 1991. We end today in history with the commemoration of National Technology Awakening Day. National Technology Awakening Day is commemorated every 10th of August. This date was chosen because it was the day of the inaugural flight of the N250 Gatotkaca aircraft in Bandung, West Java on 10th August 1995. The N250 Gatotkaca aircraft is considered a milestone in the history of the rise of national technology. The purpose of this commemoration is to appreciate the success of the Indonesian people in utilizing, mastering, and developing science and technology. In addition, the National Technology Awakening Day also aims to encourage young people to always generate innovation and creativity for the sake of the nation. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Pastikan ku jalani dunia. sebab kau terlalu indah dari sekedar kata. Dunia berhenti sejenak menikmati indahmu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry is making the second stage of Environment and Forestry Minister Regulation No. 75/2019 on producers' responsibility for their products, starting from the waste reduction planning, implementation, evaluation, to reporting. Regulation will also focus on producers' responsibilities in reducing textiles waste. Big to small textile producers are asked to create a roadmap for waste reduction, such as in the food and beverages sector, as well as the plastic and metal-based products. The Ministry's Director for Waste Reduction, Svinda Damayanti Anshar, in Jakarta on Tuesday said that currently, some 120 producers have submitted their concept of reducing waste from their production process. According to her, a similar concept will be implemented in the textile sector. She also said that the government also plans to give additional incentives, such as business capital, to encourage the business people in reducing waste and reporting the roadmap. Textile waste also encourages designer Chitra Subiakto. Through her fashion business started in September 2021, Chitra processed textile waste and used clothing into expensive fashion products. From September 2021 until May 2023, her business had collected 5,719 kilograms of used clothing to be recycled into clothing, bag, insulation fiber, insulator, soundproofing, thread, cloth, and accessories. These products have been purchased by the public, celebrities, and even international customers such as Malaysia and Singapore. Chitra invited the people to jointly reduce textile waste through three movements as a smart consumer to preserve the environment and to save the future generation. The first one is to purchase durable clothing while avoiding the polyester ones since it is difficult to disintegrate. The second is to be brave in wearing the same clothing repeatedly, just like some public figures have been encouraging. The last one is not to throw away ripped clothing, but to repair them. Meanwhile, environmental observers from IPB University Suprihatin said that textile waste is an urgent matter for the government to solve immediately, since more and more people are easily throwing away their used clothing. Suprihatin also said that the government should be moving more massively and raising awareness about textile waste management, such as plastic, organic, and metal waste.
Aku yakinkan diriku, sia-sia. Takkan ku terima cinta sesaatmu.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Astana Religious Tourism Village in Cirebon, West Java is a complete tourist village. There are nature tours, culinary tours, shopping tours, cultural history tours, and pilgrimage tours. The main potentials of this village in Gunung Jati district is a cultural history and pilgrimage tourism. In this village, there is the site of the tomb of Sunan Gunung Jati and the area of Sheikh Jatul Khaf. Sunan Gunung Jati is one of the nine saint or Wali Songo who spread Islam in Java. Every day the tomb of Sunan Gunung Jati is visited by people from various regions for pilgrimage and prayer. To visit the Astana Religious Tourism Village, you can travel for 2.5 hours by train from Gambir Station, Central Jakarta, to Cirebon Station, and continue the trip by car for only 10 minutes. Along the way to the tomb area, you can shop for various knickknacks and typical Cirebon food sold by traders around the tomb area. To support tourism activities in Astana Village, there are numbers of homestays that can be rented by pilgrims. The rental price for one house is relatively affordable, only 150,000 rupiah to 500,000 rupiah. At certain moment, a number of cultural activities are carried out in the Astana Religious Tourism Village, including Grabak Shawal, Panjang Jimat, Nadran, and Mapak Sri traditional ceremony. Grabak Shawal is generally performed by the royal family in Cirebon. Quoted from the Jadesta page, in this tradition, the royal family visit the ancestors' graves at the Sunan Gunung Jati burial complex. Meanwhile, Panjang Jimat commemorates the birthday of the prophet. Apart from that, in the village, there are also a variety of culinary specialties to pamper the tongue of the visitors, ranging from empal gentong, docang, lengko rice, intip or rice crust, Linjo crackers, Ambak Crackers, and Lambak Crackers.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the world on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Miscellany for today has a topic: Batu Street Food Festival BSFF 2023. Listeners, Batu Street Food Festival BSFF 2023 will be held again by the Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association of Batu City, East Java, in the courtyard of Among Thani City Hall on August 11 to 13, 2023. The chairman of the BSFF 2023 committee, Didi Rocky Wahyono, stated that this year's BSFF will be different from the previous ones, so it should not be missed by culinary lovers across many regions. Some of different attractions for the people and tourists in Batu City are the Muri record of the longest apple strudel pie. The pie will then be distributed to 1,000 orphans. There would be various entertainment shows in the Batu Street Food Festival BSFF 2023, including BSSF Fashion Street, Telegram Gathering, Dance Performances, K-pop in Public, Mobile Legends Competition, DJ Performances, Zumba, and many more. The arrangement of BSFF 2023 is also in collaboration with the flower and fruit community of Batu City to raise the city's image and local wisdom. In terms of culinary, there will be five categories which vary from the colonialism era: the Japanese occupation, the fighters, the legends, and the modern era. These foods will be served by around 50 members of hotel and restaurant associations of Batu City. The price is very affordable, yet the taste is still 5-star level. The visitors can buy the food starting from 10,000 rupiah, which can be paid digitally through QRIS. Batu Street Food Festival BSFF 2023 has been initiated by the Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association, Batu City, since 2007. Every year, this event advertises hotels and restaurants in Batu City to tourists, as well as being a tourist attraction to boost the number of tourist visits in Batu City. This year, BSFF features the theme of Kisah Rasa. That's Miss Seleni.
Kalau harus ku mengingatmu lagi, aku takkan sanggup dengan yang terjadi pada kita. Jika melupakanmu hal yang mudah, ini takkan berat, takkan membuat hatiku lelah. Kalau aku ya ku kalah, cinta ini pahit dan tak harus memiliki. Jika aku bisa, ku akan kembali, ku akan merubah takdir cinta yang ku pilih. Meskipun tak mungkin, walaupun ku mau bawa kamu lewat mesin waktu. Jika melupakanmu hal yang mudah, ini takkan berat, takkan membuat hatiku lelah. Panjang perjalanan yang harus ku lalui, merelakanmu. Jika aku bisa, ku akan kembali, ku akan merubah takdir cinta yang ku pilih, meskipun tak mungkin. Walaupun ku mau membawa kamu lewat mesin waktu. Akan merubah takdir cinta yang ku pilih, meskipun tak mungkin. Walaupun ku mau membawa kamu, oh, jika aku bisa, ku akan kembali, ku akan merubah cinta yang ku pilih, meskipun tak mungkin. Walaupun ku mau membawa kamu lewat mesin waktu.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to Music Corner. Today, I'm going to present to you Reza Artamevia. Prior to her solo career, Reza was a backing vocal of Dewa 19 or Dewa 19. She has a very special voice, which made Ahmad Dhani, the leader of Dewa 19, boosted her career even farther. Reza then began her solo career under guidance of Ahmad Dhani as the producers. In 1997, Reza released her first album entitled Keajaiban or Miracle. The main single of this album is Pertama or The First. Pertama stayed at the top of the Indonesian music chart when it debuted. Well, listener, here is Reza Artamevia with Pertama.
Hari-hariku pertama, diriku pun tergoda. Kilo
Voice of Indonesia.
Siap. 1, 2, 3. Ingatkah kan dirimu yang pernah menyakiti aku? Kau kecewakan aku, tapi ku maafkan salahmu. Kini berganti kisah, ku menyakiti dirimu. Tapi apa yang terjadi? Kau meninggalkanku. Izinkan aku untuk terakhir kalinya semalam saja bersamamu, mengenang asmara kita. Dan aku pun berharap semoga kita tak berpisah, dan kau maafkan kesalahan yang pernah ku buat. Ingatkah kan dirimu yang pernah menyakiti aku? Kau kecewakan.
Satu yang tak bisa lepas. tetaplah diriku di sini, masih seperti yang dulu. Kutemui kau pun kembali untuk bersama.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at VOI Indonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.